The heavens smile upon you, dear listener. Either by choice or chance, you have arrived at Idiots Discuss the Universe's Music Review Bonus Podcast Zone. Cast aside your fickle life of indecision and let the IDTU tell you what they think. Welcome to Hit or Shit.
Still haven't made a further dent.
See, I want to put it on reserve at the library, but I don't want to go on any watch lists.
No, so you know, I'm just going to kind of wait till I can buy it with cash somewhere. Stay off the watch list.
Keep it untraceable, you know?
You got to get a mail drop. You got to do a mail drop somewhere, and...
You got to make sure that they don't put you on any sort of list, because, you know, that's not good. You know, that's really... It's really not good. It's really no joke.
Oh, man. I'm really trying to read more of it. I don't know. I don't think anyone's going to put you on any list or anything like that.
I'm mostly joking.
I know, but I think there is, like, I've seen even my friends, like my roommates were like, hey, man, they were kind of half joking. Like, you got your Jordan Peterson book out here, you know, you maybe want to put that in your room in case we have people coming around, you know, like, and I know they were joking, but it's still like that kind of... You know,
it's a little bit judgy. There's a little. That's that stuff. I'm opening up my
What is that?
My
tree honey.
For the folks at home, I'm opening up my archive of dabs and shatters, and I guess tree honey, which is when I open it, is actually honey, and now I am completely sticky.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, it's just nothing that I even know what I would want to do with that. I mean, like, I'd have
Why
to get
would
like
they
a,
package it like
a,
that?
Some gloves and
Why
like,
would they package it like a dab?
It is dab. I think that is what you're supposed to do with it, but it really has the consistency of honey. And even the outside of the wrapper there is absolutely just covered in...
It's not like, shatter. It's more of a sap.
It is a sap. I am a sap for opening it.
I'm a sap for that sap.
See?
I'm a sap.
I just come
for
up
sap.
With those one-liners.
You're
this is natural.
You're on fire.
This is natural.
You're on fire.
Mm-hmm. Okay, this one's a little better, Spenny.
Yeah, look Ooh, at that. Yeah. That one looks a stable.
Oh,
very
give
stable.
It a smell. This is coming from. This is
crazy.
The lemon sour diesel, Nug Run.
Okay.
Poland Snap from White Label Extracts.
Nice. I like what White Label does.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, they have very solid extracts.
I'm on board with it. And I don't normally do dabs, but, you know, surprisingly, we're running kind of low on the flower.
Wow.
And Spencer's been holding the pipe for, like, 45 minutes. So, like, I've been resorted to, like, eating
you
edibles
know
and
do,
doing
Craig.
Dabs because I just can't wait until Spencer
you
takes
know
his
You know I like to just hold the pipe. And I just like to take it. And I just like to, you know,
hold it.
Just chill. I like to chill with it. I like to know that I could smoke if I wanted to. And I like to know that I control like, everyone else's smoking.
It's like looking at a statue of a man holding a pipe.
All right, look, Craig, you happy? Look at this.
The man, oh, I'm ecstatic. I'm ecstatic. In the dabs, guy. I still don't trust it. You know, I feel like this might even still be just as big. Oh, he did actually take a hit. Look at that.
That's what I said. Oh, you see, okay. You're happy?
I'm pretty happy.
So, look, actually, I'm going to eat this poison berry, too.
And eat your poison berry.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent.
Mm.
Oh, I know what I was doing here. You know. Are we doing a hit or shit? Is that what we're... Oh, I shouldn't have said that.
You gave it away. How could you have done that?
I know. I just went out and said it.
It's okay.
Yeah. But it is an episode of...
Hit or shit.
And, you know, normally we get right into the music, but we were talking about, I made a reference at the end of our last episode that we recorded about the Mighty Casey striking out, and you didn't know what I was talking about.
No, what is that? Who's the Mighty Casey? Please do tell. Sounds like a pretty great guy.
It's from a poem called Casey at the Bat. By Ernest Lawrence Thayer. And I believe, didn't he come through with a poem maybe that we were talking about another day? A Thayer poem?
Maybe. I know we did get dabble into the poetry, but...
See how long this is.
I don't remember that name.
It is pretty long here.
Are you about to read a fatty poem? A fatty opus?
It is...
How about you just read the part about Casey, or Mr. Casey, or the great Casey, swinging it out of the park there.
All right, let's see if we can get Casey at the Bat Wikipedia here. Let's get the text of it. And we'll go to the finale of the thing.
Okay.
Well, maybe it's not that long. We'll try it. We can cut it down. You know, we got nothing better to do.
That's right.
All right, here we go.
Just edit it.
And I'll try to do it at my best. Maybe we can get some baseball noises in the background here. Okay. I don't know. That might be fun. The outlook wasn't brilliant for the Mudville Nine that day. The score stood 4-2, with but one inning more to play. And then when Cooney died at first and Barrows did the same, a sickly silence fell upon the patrons of the game. A straggling few got up to go in deep despair. The rest clung to that hope, which springs eternal in the human breast. They thought if only Casey could get but a whack at that, they'd put up even money now with Casey at the bat. But Flynn preceded Casey, and did also Jimmy Blake. And the former was a Lulu, and the latter was a cake. So upon that stricken multitude grim, melancholy sat, for there seemed but little chance of Casey's getting to the bat. But Flynn let fly a single to the wonderment of all, and Blake, the much despised, tore the cover off the ball. And when the dust had lifted and the men saw what had occurred, there was Jimmy safe at second and Flynn a huggin' third. Then from 5,000 throats and more there rose a lusty yell. It rumbled through the valley, it rattled in the dell. It knocked upon the mountain and recoiled upon the flat, for Casey, the mighty Casey, was advancing to the bat. There was ease in Casey's manner as he stepped into his place. There was pride in Casey's bearing and a smile in Casey's face. And when, responding to the cheers, he lightly doffed his hat, no stranger in the crowd could doubt 'twas Casey at the bat. 10,000 eyes were on him as he rubbed his hands with dirt. 5,000 tongues applauded when he wiped them on his shirt. Then the writhing pitcher ground the ball into his hip. Defiance gleamed in Casey's eye. A sneer curled Casey's lip. And now the leather-covered sphere came hurtling through the air, and Casey stood a-watching it in a haunty grandeur there. Close by the sturdy batsman the ball unheeded sped. "That ain't my style," said Casey. "Strike one," the umpire said. From the benches black with people, there went a muffled roar, like the bearing of the storm waves on a stern and distant shore. "Kill him! Kill the umpire!" shouted someone on the stand, and it's likely they'd have killed him if not Casey raised his hand. With a smile of Christian charity, Casey's vision shone. He stilled the rising tumult, and he bade the game go on. He signaled to the pitcher once more, the spheroid flew, but Casey still ignored it, and the umpire said, "Strike two." "Fraud!" cried the maddening thousands in echo. It answered, "Fraud!" But one scornful look from Casey, and the audience was awed. They saw his face grow stern and cold, and they saw his muscles strain, and they knew that Casey wouldn't let that ball go by again. The sneer was gone from Casey's lips. His teeth are clenched in hate. He pounds with cruel violence his bat upon the plate. And now the pitcher holds the ball, and now he lets it go, and now the air is shattered by the force of Casey's blow. Oh, somewhere in this favored land the sun is shining bright. The band is playing somewhere, and somewhere hearts are light. And somewhere men are laughing, and somewhere children shout. But there is no joy in Mudville. Mighty Casey has struck out. The end.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was the whole thing?
That was the whole thing.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. You never heard that before?
No.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm sure that it was probably edited out of the curriculum at some point. Thayer was like a poet that's probably been replaced by, you know, other poets at that time.
That was really cool, though.
Yeah.
As it kept going, I was definitely there being like, oh, shit, is he going to hit it? Mm-hmm. What's going to happen?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That was very cool.
It's a cool thing. Yeah.
Yeah, people don't...
And it's certainly...
Don't,
I feel like I have a personal connection to that poem, too, for some reason, with my initials being Casey. You know, I've always been kind of like a reference Casey. Because it was something that me and my friends... Do you have things that you're...
pretty tapped.
You and old friends were all in the same, like, classes of, like, English and studied the same books, and then you can make references back to that because you all know that you read it. And had
yeah, a... more or less. Mm-hmm. Kind of like 1984, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
And you really read a lot of dystopian fiction in those years.
We really did.
Yeah. That's weird.
Plus, that teacher who taught us was the same one who taught us reading the media, and he was already, you know, in that class, he was very, very, taught us to be very wary of the media and mm-hmm. ads and stuff like that. So that was his whole thing.
What other things did you have to read? Did you have to read Scarlet Letter?
No, didn't read Scarlet Letter.
Huckleberry Finn?
Fahrenheit... 9/11 or is that 4/11 5/11
Fahrenheit 451.
Oh yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah.
What's Fahrenheit 9/11?
Fahrenheit 9/11 is the Michael Moore movie.
Oh right, yeah. Fahrenheit 451. Read that. We read some of the Great Gatsby.
Some of the Great Gatsby.
Yeah, well, I read some of the Great Gatsby.
Man, that's my favorite book. Probably one of my
really?
Favorite. One of my favorite. No, it's not my all-time favorite, but it's probably the most perfect novel I've ever written.
What's going on?
I got a bunch of like
that sap stuff.
Sap stuff on my beard and my lip.
Oh, shitty!
Driving me nuts. So I'm like putting some hand sanitizer with the alcohol on there to break it off.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Hopefully that works. Yeah.
Sorry.
That's
sorry, everybody.
No, I was curious.
A little bit of a concentrate emergency there. I'm not good with it. I get it everywhere.
Yeah. You
know? I'm sure that some seriously like tree hippie could fucking just go crazy on that honey and they'd be fucking puffing that shit like crazy right now.
Oh yeah, you just gotta put it into a joint, man. You just gotta wrap it around some
no
kush.
Idea what I'm gonna do with that.
I guess you're supposed to dab it, like if you can somehow get it in some dabbing receptacle, you can try. Yeah. But
I don't think
it seems difficult.
I don't know. It does seem difficult. I have to heat up a dab tool and probably get it off that way.
Oh, boy.
I don't know. It's just more than I don't know. I just want to put some flour in a pipe and smoke.
I know. It sounds so much easier.
Or roll a joint.
Right.
You know, come on. I'm not an animal here.
Right.
Seriously.
Right. Come on, people. Come on. Well, I really appreciated that. Maybe that's something we should do more. Some poetry reading.
A little poetry reading?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I liked that.
I don't know.
Let's see what people say.
Long. It felt long.
It was a little long, but you know.
As I got towards the, you know, like, oh my God, it's long. You know, like, we're going to go through all the strikes.
I was actually really getting into it the more it went on. At first, I was like, oh, here we go. And then I was like, huh, this is really
and then it kind of
well
looked
done.
Like you, and then it kind of looked like you were asleep for a little bit there.
Well, I would close my eyes, you know, just to imagine.
Just resting your eyes.
I just want to imagine more vividly Casey striking out.
I like that. I'm glad that you enjoyed it. If nothing else, Spencer enjoyed a little poetry.
I enjoyed.
And that's really all that we're all here for.
That's all
really
that matters.
Like to make Spencer happy, right?
That's right.
We all are just kind of here to facilitate that.
You're
sort
not
of,
doing a very good job at that.
To
right
facilitate
now, Craig.
The Spencer experience.
Make me laugh. Dance for me, clown.
Dance clown. Dance clown.
Yes.
Yeah, we're happy to do it. We're happy to do it. So to further that end, you wanted to do a hit or shit now, and we're going to listen to the song that comes off of
my playlist.
Spotify playlist
my
that Spotify
playlist.
Recommends new
That's
music
right.
to you
mm-hmm.
because you
Me.
Are the arbitrator of what shall make it through the threshold and what
am,
shall
yes.
not make it through the threshold.
I am the
of
arbiter of taste.
The that's, arbiter of taste.
That is my official title.
The gatekeeper of cool.
Yes, that's
mm-hmm.
right.
Mm-hmm.
And I decide what we even begin to judge, you know? Well, I'm not even saying it's cool. I'm saying it's worthy of judgment from Craig and I. So
The grand Spencerelli.
Hmm. I like
Arbiter
that.
Arbiter of cool.
Yes. The grand Spencerelli. Heed my call and listen. Listen to whatever song I tell you to.
Listen unto the grand Spencerelli as he deems unto you what is listenable and what is not on
yes.
his program.
Yes.
Hit or shit.
Yes.
Also with Craig.
Also, Craig is maybe there to provide some support.
Yeah, I think we'll start calling this the Grand Spencerelli's Hit or Shit Review.
No. That's silly. This is...
That would put asses...
It's the Grand...
That would put asses in the seats.
No, it would scare people away.
No, people would love the Grand Spencerelli. No. I think we got to make you go Latin.
No.
This whatever you got going on, the Irish...
Yes.
Jewish thing, whatever. What? I don't know what you got, what mix you got cooking, but like we got to go Italian.
Okay.
We're scratching that.
Hey,
Italian.
The Grand Spencerelli.
There we go.
Yeah.
There we go. We're rebranding, baby.
Yeah, you know, it's a hit of shit.
Spencerelli.
You know, maybe it's a hit, maybe it's a shit. That's for me to decide, for you to find out. So
sit tight and, mind your own business. Shut your mouth.
Listen up. Listen.
We'll let you know
what to think.
Yeah. You're lucky like that.
That's right. You don't have to do any of the thinking for yourself. You can just listen.
Grand Spencerelli. That's what he's here for.
There's a Grand Spencerelli.
I don't do no thinking. I just listen to Grand Spencerelli.
Right. Did I tell you to talk?
Yeah, I did.
Did I tell you to talk? Sorry. You think I'm an asshole?
Sorry, Spencerelli. You think I'm some sort of asshole?
All right. It's something we got to deal with every once in a while, you know.
Set things straight. Spencerelli.
We got to set the record straight. I'm gonna get stuck in Italy, in Little Italy, in my
head.
You just like being the Italian boss.
Yeah.
Because then I can just be an asshole, and it's like completely fine.
And like me deferring to you doesn't like unsweeten the deal at all.
Oh no,
either.
That's great.
Yeah, don't get fucking used to
that's
that.
That's definitely good
don't
though.
Get used
oh
to
come
that.
On. Let's keep that part of it.
Oh, Spencer, what are we gonna do now, Spencer?
All right, Craig.
Oh, what song are we gonna listen
down.
To? Oh, I hope it's
calm
a cool
down.
One like last time and the time before.
That's right,
oh,
Craig.
Oh boy, Spencer.
I like it. You need like a little lollipop.
Okay.
You need a lollipop and like a little spinny hat with that. A little propeller hat on top.
Oh yeah, I got it on my soul. There's a little spinny hat on my soul as I do that voice.
Well, okay. I'm not trying to make it all about me. All right, It just is, bitches. I just have the best taste. All right, I just have the most impeccable taste. So
let's get the machete of timeliness out and just. Cut through the hubris until we can find out what the name of the song that you deem worthy for us to listen to tonight. That's really where we're going, and I hope that we get there.
I will do you the favor of telling you the song.
Everybody's on the page, the same page that you're awesome, and it's getting better as we sit here.
Good.
So
that's what I feel very confident
in that.
Let's
go. We got a green light on that one.
So today we're doing a song by a band called Deaf Heaven. The song is called Black Brick. It is called Black Brick. And Deaf Heaven is...
Deaf, as in like hard of hearing?
Yes.
Okay, Deaf Heaven.
With an F, as in father, as in fickle, as in Frank. Yeah, Deaf Heaven, and they are kind of an interesting band that's been getting some like NPR type hype. They're what I would call NPR metal.
I feel like they get a nod from the intellectual rumblings of this now that I think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
it's technically black metal is like the subgenre or whatever.
I know what black metal
it's hipster black metal though. Mm-hmm. So instead of like people painting their faces with corpse paint and everything, it's people wearing flannels and thick rimmed glasses and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting. It's black metal with some happier chords. It's like happy black metal.
They're just as stinky when you get within standing distance of
they smell the same. They smell like booze and cigarettes and lack of a shower.
It's the same equation. It's just a different palette.
Yeah, different package.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So they released an album last year, and this is a...
Where are they coming from?
They hail from the Bay, from San Francisco.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah,
that's like the
epicenter.
That's NPR's just got like the fucking, you know, one of their suction tubes on the Bay scene.
Oh, yeah.
What little scene there is of the Bay Area.
They've got their finger on the pulse,
yeah.
Apparently.
Yeah. Okay, so rock and roll.
Yeah, so this is actually a B-side from their most recent album, but hopefully it's better than their album.
It's a B-side?
It's a B-side. Well, they just released
B-sides. Okay.
Yeah.
We're deep in the weeds, people.
We're deep in the weeds.
A band I've never heard about. I'm deep in the weeds already. Okay. Okay.
That's where we like to start off.
This is a weird way to start listening to a band.
Oops. I started playing it too early. Okay, there we go.
Is that going to be on the mix? This is a weird way to start listening to a band. I never really thought of, you know.
Well, I probably shouldn't have said it was a B-side, because that kind of implies that it's worse.
I don't know that I've ever done this. Like, here's a new band. We're going to listen to the B-side of a song that didn't make...
The B-side of an album. Yep. We're doing it. Thanks. I have high hopes for this, because the album cover... Because their last album, they got a little too hipstery. They got too much clean parts, too much, you guys want to be like My Bloody Valentine kind of a thing.
You should see the vein that pops up in Spencer's forehead when he starts talking about like how it
too
hurts
many
him.
Clean parts, okay?
Too many clean...
Stick with the black metal. Oh, stick with the distortion. Me. You know, don't go off and pretend like you're My Bloody Valentine. Or you're a shoegaze band or whatever, just stick with what you know. So I'm hoping that this song will be going back to that.
Stay in your hole.
Stay in your lane. All right. So let's check it out. Let's judge it. Let's judge this music.
Okay.
Song, do you think that was, Craig? How long did it feel, I suppose?
4.5 minutes.
Yeah?
Yeah, something like that.
7.5 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was trying to... It felt 7.5 minutes, but I'm thinking... Okay, yeah. You know, it felt long.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking maybe it wasn't that long. I don't know.
Huh. It felt like a long 4.5 minutes.
I'm interested to hear what you think of it.
I like it. I liked it a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did. It's kind of what I was hoping for and sort of led to believe by the album cover. It's sort of, you know, more traditional as far as what the stuff they do. So in that way, it was like a little bit predictable, I suppose,
yeah,
in certain parts.
Yeah, I thought that would be... There are things I liked about it is I liked the vocal, and I thought that was very well. I think I thought the production was very well done for what they were doing with it. I thought some of the
high screechy vocals.
Yeah, some of that stuff was very cool. The way that the stylization of that vocal, the combination of the... Yeah, I just thought that was very, very well done there, and it had a good sound. I thought the guitar, for the most part, was pretty boring.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, especially...
I see what you mean.
There's one part where the first breakdown where it did that juke or whatever it is, you know, and that was interesting and kind of different to me, but I guess that would be something that was more towards like the shoegazer end of the spectrum maybe, or more of a like a...
They didn't really have that many of those elements on this song. That's
it was a different element than it wasn't a black metal element, though. When they had that first kind of breakdown, it was a little bit more of a poppy, rocky sort of thrashy. I don't know. It was even Toolish sort of there. You remember what we were talking about? We were both like kind of rocking out to that part of it.
Yeah,
you know,
where they were kind of chugging along and in like a galloping kind of way.
Yeah.
I would say that's kind of almost like death metal. I mean, but that's splitting hairs. Like, I don't know.
I thought that was a kind of a nice change of pace, but I thought that was, again, like most of it just sounded really like everything else.
Yeah.
To me, other than really the vocal.
Yeah.
You know, I felt like
the vocalist is very distinct
and kind of carried it. But all the different sections were just like stuff that I'd heard probably before. And some of it was really pretty boring.
It was very Slayer-esque. After just having listened to Slayer, I thought I was getting a big Slayer vibe on this, and a lot of these riffs. Like, Not that Slayer is bad, but you know, it's like
especially
their riffs
that
have been copied
da, da,
a lot.
Dun 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 dun. Or they're, you know, and they're going through the main part of the song, and it's just that you know, they're moving up. I don't know whatever they're moving up thirds or whatever, and they're moving up thirds and fifths and doing that chord change thing, sort of thing, that very classical like string arrangement with the guitars,
right
you know, like that's a classic fucking Slayer, even Halloween and Venom and all those, like
some old school shit,
some high classical. I mean, it's like just tasting, it's taking classical music and moving it into heavy metal, which has been going on forever, but like it sounded very, I don't know, maybe I'm just being a kind of a grumpster on this one, I don't know why.
But no, that's fine. I
enjoyed the vocal, but
saying.
I don't know if I'm totally like sold on it.
On the instrumentation.
Of like why I need to spend time with it. You know what I'm saying? Like, why is this one interesting? Why do you want to listen to this song again? Tell me that. Do you want to listen to this song again?
I don't know. I don't know that I'm going to go seek it out to show people Death Heaven. If it comes on again, I don't think I would turn it off, like if it came on shuffle. But yeah, I don't know if I would go seek it out as like a definitive showing people this band kind of a song. Because it is more of their, yeah, it's a little like derivative, hearkening back to the more traditional stuff that they do. You know, they kind of took the elements I was talking about before, like the hipstery, shoegazy stuff. They took it out of this.
But there's something weird about it. I feel like there's something weird about it.
Huh.
That it's kind of palatable in a way that this music shouldn't be palatable.
It is very palatable.
Even the vocal kind of lends itself to it because the vocal's interesting, but the vocal's also like a melodic, like something that maybe people didn't like, either the screechy, like Lady Screamin' or Cookie Monster, that didn't like either of those, could maybe find something that they liked in this vocal, and then the rest of it is all very palatable, and it has breaks in it and different parts in it that go right back to like hard rock and heavy metal tropes, you
see,
know,
traditionally
kind of
you're
reel you in.
It's a good observation because they've experienced more commercial appeal and whatnot than a typical black metal band, and it's specifically because they add in those outside influences, typically more and in a more creative way. On this one, I would say it's much more traditionally kind of, but that is a good observation.
Well, demographically, what's going on is they are attracting soccer moms who grew up loving metal, but they never really got the transition into black metal or the harder metal, because it's always been too dissonant and beyond what they can take. But you know, their boyfriends and the people in their family all like that, but this is a kind of a metal band for soccer moms that, oh, this is something that I can kind of get behind because it's not objective. You're totally right. It works in a way that
it is
like
black metal
stuff
for soccer moms. That is a very good way to put it.
It is.
That's how I would describe Death Heaven. And I think you might like some of their other stuff, but then again, maybe not. But
and if this stuff is showing up on NPR, then it is turning into death metal for soccer moms.
Definitely.
Because death metal has been soccer mom age for a long time.
Right. And these guys, like I said, they've gone on to experience a strange amount of success. I don't know, not strange. They're a very hardworking band, and they do some risky stuff. Like, a lot of people within the black metal world hate these guys, of course. You know?
And you can see why.
Yeah, like, because they're posers and whatnot. But I think that's a little, like, let people fucking add genres to the music they want to and make the music they want to. And I enjoy most of their stuff. But
you don't feel like they're the monkeys of death metal?
Of black metal?
Black metal.
No. Not really, because I think that band is kind of already happened. That's like a Dimmu Borgir or something. Like, it still gets more commercial in the black metal world than this. They're still keeping it lo-fi.
Who?
Huh?
Who sounds more commercial than this?
Like I said, Dimmu Borgir, Emperor maybe. Like, some of these more melodic, more well-produced, even like having singing parts, they've kind of bridged the gap into like radio rock a little bit. And so people really hate that. And these guys, I think, still keep it more real to a point where they've still got 7.5 minute long songs. A lot of their songs are like 12 minutes long and go, you know, very meandering passages.
It's the NPR crowd.
It's for the NPR crowd.
They want like that cruise ship thing, but they want to feel like they've been living in the bush. You know, they want to be able to tell people and act like they were living in the bush,
sure,
instead of on a cruise ship, you know, on their vacation. You know, that's the sort of thing. Yeah. And it is. It's like authentic. It's authentic enough to be authentic, but it's also commercial enough to be like commercial. And that's the thing that they've been looking for. Because, yeah. I mean, I know Emperor a little bit, and like that is still, I don't know, it's trying in a weird way that doesn't quite hit it. This is that perfect thing right down the middle. I bet you that they get bigger and bigger.
Oh, yeah.
I bet you people are going to get really pissed when these guys turn into one of the biggest fucking black metal bands ever as far as sales and all that stuff.
Yeah. I mean, they're already right up there. Yeah, they really are. And they get a lot of shit. Their last album went too far for me personally down that rabbit hole of like, oh, you guys are just literally like a... Not Bullet for My Valentine.
My Bloody Valentine.
You know, oh, you guys are just like that band now, kind of a thing, rather than fusing the two things together. Mm-hmm. So that's a totally valid comparison. And I see how a lot of people are like, oh, it's black metal with no teeth. And it's just kind of lukewarm. And they use a lot of major chords. Like, this was a menacing sounding song compared to their other stuff, you know, compared to that last album, which is why I was pleasantly surprised. And it's kind of what I was hoping for, because I'm like, I wanted them to go back to their roots a little bit, which is like, you know, Slayer influenced black metal stuff. And so I was happy to hear it. And for me, I don't know, I think I'm a sucker a little bit sometimes for a good blast beat. You know, I get kind of entranced by it, and then time goes by. So I'm completely biased.
This sort of happens sometimes. And it's going to be kind of, I don't know if this is what's going on or not, but I feel like there's this marketing trend that like bands like this get really promoted right before one age group enters into like their nostalgia period, you know? And I feel like the people that really love the black metal and the death metal and the face paint and all of that stuff, there's a bunch of those that are moving into that, like, I'm looking back on my earlier, even you were talking earlier, like, I'm being nostalgic about such and such. You were talking about you when you were younger, you know, and like, you're kind of getting to that period where you're really going to start like thinking about those days and how it affects you now and all that stuff. And the music's going to come back, that first wave of nostalgia.
Yeah.
You know, and they kind of have these bands that are accessible for people that maybe their tastes have changed, and they get kind of people into the bands that they weren't into in the past, so they can resell all of those albums in a way.
Sure.
You know, I feel like there have been other bands that have come along that are modern, but they kind of bridge those sound gaps to get people kind of interested in stuff that was at one point like... I don't know, like Alt J kind of, I mean, or like there were all the Alt J and Bob Bon Iver and all those folks like kind of showed up with that Toto sounding production that kind of got people thinking like, oh, you know, and the next thing you know that like those 70s, that 70s sound kind of came, that 80s like super produced sound started to kind of creep back and, you know, all those bands started going on tour again. It's an interesting phenomenon.
Yeah. No, I think there's,
if it's coincidence or not, I don't know.
Well,
but I think that it does help sell a lot of like concert seats and stuff, you know.
I think it's a combination. Like, I don't necessarily think this band was set out to make music like that to sell nostalgia records, you know.
But do you think that maybe this record company got a hold of this band and they're like, oh, these guys are cooperative and they're great musicians and they look the part and they act the part and they'll do what we tell them to do exactly how we tell them to do it,
well,
to some degree, but they'll be rebellious enough. It's going to be a perfect mix. These are our boys right here, and we're gonna like kind of help them.
I would say that's more likely for sure. Definitely,
it isn't, you know, like fall out of the sky and end up as a black metal band on NPR.
No, totally.
You know, that doesn't just happen.
Well, there's a whole thing of NPR metal lately. And so I think that's NPR's thing, they're doing the nostalgia
age
thing.
Groups going into the NPR world. The NPR listener.
Yeah.
You know.
No, I could see that. And but I think that Deaf Heaven probably, to an extent, does not, you know, wishes they weren't in that category, you know, because they had like some very serious underground cred beforehand.
And, yeah, I'm sure they're really sad in their Lamborghinis.
Oh, these guys are not driving Lambos.
What are they driving? Like, I mean, monster trucks?
No, I just mean like they can't afford, like they're big for a black metal band, you yeah, know.
I bet you they're still probably like doing okay.
Oh, I'm sure they are. I'm sure they don't work other jobs or anything, but I don't know that they're making like rock star money.
Camrys.
They play like the Wonder Ballroom, you know.
Oh yeah, if you're playing the Wonder Ballroom, like yeah, you have a, like a nice fucking car.
Yeah, you got a maybe like a nice Audi or something.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. If you're a fully paid member of a band, mm-hmm, that's not like 20 members or something like that, right, then you're doing okay. You can put a payment on the house.
Sure.
Probably.
For a black metal band, they're doing fucking great.
If you're touring that much, you can like put a down payment on a house and pay for a house. And, yeah. And like have a nice car.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're upper middle class.
Mm-hmm.
If you're running it right.
Well, I personally give this a hit. I liked it. It's not my favorite. I can't say it's my favorite Deaf Heaven song. But I liked it. And I certainly liked it better than their last album.
I guess I give it a hit too. Yeah.
Really?
A reluctant hit, I guess.
I'm surprised by that. I was expecting at least
kind of like
more.
A hit. I mean, obviously, is. I mean, there's nothing to object about it. I mean, I've got nothing really to object.
But personally, I felt like it was kind of boring.
I felt it was a little boring.
That's
but
legit.
It's going to be like, these guys are going to be a big hit, I think.
Yeah, I don't know. I really don't know if these guys get any bigger than they are. I feel like they've hit their peak because everyone who maybe it's still a small sliver of people who are like nostalgic about black metal. You know what I mean? Like there are a lot of people, but it's not like I don't know how much commercial potential the screaming has. You know, I think that's got a cap on it at a certain point, and blast beats and whatnot.
Yeah.
But
I don't know. It's a high or a low hit.
Okay.
You know, I would say.
That's fair.
You know, I mean, like there are parts of it that I really quite enjoyed. You know, and yeah. And then there's parts that I enjoyed, but I felt like I'd already heard 1,000 times.
Sure.
So
sure.
There you go.
Yeah.
I enjoyed all of it, but some of it.
Sometime I'll show you some of their other stuff, and I think you might like that better.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'm up for that.
But everyone, we really appreciate you listening. This has been another episode of Idiots Discuss the Universe Hit or Shit, where we judge the living daylights out of music and we tell you what to think about it. So if you liked what you heard, why don't you go support us by following our Instagram, you know, interact with us there. You can like and subscribe to our content on iTunes. That really helps us out. You can, oh, it's all up there. Holy shit. I'm trying to remember it off the dome. Write us a review. That shit really, really helps.
Absolutely.
It
especially
really does.
On iTunes. For some reason, that pleases the podcast.
Yeah, it
gods
bumps
the most.
Us up. It
Nobody
bumps
knows
us.
Why it pleases them.
We don't just ask like questions. We just do as they say.
Just like the burnt offerings. We don't know why that pleases the gods, but
right.
It does.
It does. It works.
I just like it.
If you want to hit us up, if you have any issues with stuff that we say, or if you want to just give us a comment or a suggestion, we've got an email. That's idtu.podcast@gmail.com. Send us anything, literally anything. Our inbox is a little bit boring right now.
Yeah, it's really boring.
We need something to spice it up. So send us some hate
really
mail.
Really boring.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Something. Anything.
Anything, really.
You know.
Anything.
Yeah, don't forward us your fucking mail or any of your fucking ads.
No, we don't want that stuff.
It's clean. At least our inbox is clean of garbage.
And any complaints you might have, just address to Craig, you know, because
absolutely.
he's
I take
the complaint
care of him.
Man. Yeah.
Spencer's a little afraid of me, and he'll listen to me.
Well, it's not that I'm afraid of you.
He's afraid of me.
It's more that I'm sorry for you, and I just I don't wanna.
Yeah, yeah,
I don't wanna.
That's not what your body language says generally.
Really?
You know,
this is
a,
how do you project pity?
False confidence because you're doing it right now.
Okay.
You falsely like you stick your chest.
Did I stick my chest out enough?
Like
my chin up?
Yeah. Yep.
What about pursing my lips and showing my teeth?
Yeah, there you go. See, no, you're not intimidated at all. No, it's manimal.
That's what I'm.
it does help. That does release the endorphins and make you kind of ready to fight.
Yeah,
start doing that to people on the tram.
Well, we, as you know, if once we get to 100,000 subscribers,
100,000,
Craig and I are going to fight to the death.
Okay. All right. I guess so.
I guess so. Anything for fame.
Yeah, so I'll probably be so old and weak at that point that it'll just be
I'm
like,
I'm really praying for that, to be honest. I'm hoping.
Merciful strike with a shovel. That's all that I ask, you know? And then they use that shovel to dig
merciful
the hole.
Merciful strike.
And fucking and call it good. Call it good.
One quick swoop.
That's it. That's all right. For us. We're idiots discuss the universe.
Thanks for listening.
Idiots Discuss the Universe is recorded in the IDTU studios located in Portland, Oregon. All opinions and commentary has been carefully researched by the technicians and scholars of IDTU Research Academy, and therefore should be greeted with healthy skepticism and disbelief. No idiots were harmed during the making of this podcast.